Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We've been talking about, last week we talked about idols. Idols are anything you would put before God. An idol is, you know what an idol is? An idol could be a problem. You got a problem. If you always have a problem, you get your mind on it all the time. That can be an idol. An idol can be a person. All you think about is pleasing this person, and that's all you want to do. What you think about the most, there's your idol. See that? God wants you to think about Him. Keep your mind on Him. In His perfect peace, He will keep them whose mind is stayed on Thee and whose trust is in the Lord. You see, when you don't have peace, it's because you got your mind on something else and your trust is not in the Lord. But when your mind's on Him, it produces peace. You see this? So it's important to understand idols. We want to get idols out of our life. Idol could be a car, it could be a job, a career, it could be the way you look, it could be your education, it can be all these things, it could be your children, it could be your family. Well, I didn't have a family, I want to have a good family. Well, you can want to have a good family so much that it becomes an idol and you're the one destroying your own family because you don't have God in it. The very thing you want the most becomes your problem. See that? So, I had an idol. I'll tell you about my idol. I was pastoring this church, and I was by myself for 11 years pastoring this church. You know, I've been here going on 21 years, going on 22. But I was pastoring this church, and I had an idol. And you know what it was? I bought me a motorcycle. A Harley. I bought me a Harley. Harley Davidson, you know. And so, I mean, I love that thing. I remember I got called up to in Northern Ohio by Toledo, and I did an outreach, and I preached at all these different churches to do evangelism, and they paid me. They paid me good. They paid me enough to buy me a motorcycle. And I was just, well, I'm going to get me a motorcycle. So I found one for sale. And I paid cash for it. And so I had it in the garage. I would shine it. I even talked to it. I would talk to that. Oh, you just look. Oh. And I'd order parts for it and, you know, chrome pieces. And anybody's had a Harley, you know what I'm talking about. And then I got all these people that would see me, and I would ride it before I even took my course for safety, and I would ride it, and I'd ride it back to the neighborhood, real slow because I want to make sure I knew what I was doing before I got out on the street, you know. So I parked it in the garage and I shine it and wax it, talk to it some more. I'd be watching a show in my house by myself, and when a commercial would come on, I'd open the garage. Oh, I'm telling you the truth. See, I told you I'd tell you the truth. This is what I would do. And then you got all these people that call you. oh, we want to go on a ride. And they got the same problem. Now, I still have a motor. I got two of them now. But they're not idols. Now, well, listen to me. So, I got, you get all these people, and they're in the same area. That's their deal. You know, that's what they do. You know, I got a guy, he sends me pictures all the time, and he said there was a loud, he sent me a post the other day. He said there was a loud noise in the house, and he heard this noise in the house. He says, the first thing I thought, he goes, I thought, this is what the caption said on the picture. He said, the first thing I thought, that my motorcycle fell down, and I ran and I looked, and he said, it was only my wife falling. He's got the same problem. Yeah. Now listen, I'm not done yet. So now, talking about idols, I continued to do that, and the Holy Spirit showed me one day. We got into a building project, and he said, you know, that's become an idol to you. I said, no way, that's the devil. I said, that's the devil lying to me. I was praying one morning, and the Holy Spirit whispered that in me, and I said, that's the devil. He said, I want you to sell it. I said, there's no, you lying devil. And then he kept saying it. I said, okay, Lord. He said, I want you to sell it. I want you to give the money to the church. I said, are you sure? And I'll go out and look at it some more. I said, no. I had to sell it. I sold it. Now listen to me. I sold it. In the first week, I gave it. I let somebody who's real good with selling cars and motorcycles. And I gave it to him. And I said, go ahead and sell it. He calls me up. First guy that looked at it, bought it. Paid the price you wanted for it. I think it was $6,500. $6,500. And it was a used one. So, you know. So, they ain't cheap. But now. Okay, so he bought it. He says, it's gone. I hung up the phone. Tears. I'm telling you the truth. I was crying over that motorcycle. And, but the Holy Spirit said, it's going to be all right. 1 year later, I go out. I was getting eggs from a farm. Fresh eggs. I like fresh eggs. I was getting eggs from a farm. I go out. I come in with my eggs, and I put them in the refrigerator. Didn't even look at them. Next day, I went to cook some eggs, and I opened up the eggs. The key to that motorcycle was in those eggs. I said, what? I said, I know that was the chain I put it on. I said, I know that's the key to my motorcycle. I got to searching around. I said, what's going on? I called that guy. It was my birthday. He said, yeah, so-and-so bought it, but he's giving it back to you. 1 year later, he gave it back. I didn't have to pay anymore. He gave $6,000, and I gave it to the church, like the Holy Spirit told me to. And now I got my motorcycle back. But now, it's not an idol. You seen that? Amen. So I go out and buy me another one. Am I making sense? Don Ada knows that it's not no idol. She does. She knows it's not. Because that's not what I think about and talk about. And I don't go out to peek at it all the time. I do shine it up a little bit. But you see what I mean? Is this making sense? I'm trying to help you see what an idol can get you so consumed. Now your friends become people. Now people calling you. You're looking, you're watching. It's all, it can start to consume you. And that's what an idol will do. That's why we got to get it out. You see that? You don't want to have anything that's going to get between you and God. Okay, so that's what we talked about. Now let's go to our foundational scripture, and we're going to talk about the vision, and we're going to get started. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for everyone here. Father, we thank you for everyone watching live stream. Everyone watching live stream, just say this. Just say, more of you, Lord. Everyone here, we want more of you. So, Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts today, and we pray for revelation, knowledge, and understanding, an increase of who you are and what you're calling us to be and calling us to do. We thank you for it, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, so we've been talking about being committed. So nothing happens of any value or any worth in our lives without commitment. A marriage will not be healthy without commitment. It won't happen. A budget won't work without commitment. You'll be broke, busted, and disgusted without commitment. You see, God gives you a plan for your finances. And you know what it starts with? Tithing. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Yeah. That's where it stands. And when you're committed, you don't have no problem doing that. Because you know where all your finances come from. It comes from God. So I don't have no problem tithing. Tithing is 10% of your gross income to the place you get your feeding, where your storehouse is, your church. You tithe to that place. Just a little side note. And that is there for your protection. See, when you receive God's direction, you get his protection. He will protect you in your financial area if you begin to tithe. He says, try me in this. You know, it's nice having your bills paid and things starting to work and the dots coming together in that area of your life. Because without it, it won't happen. It'll always be in disarray because you don't want to be committed in that area. So now think about this. Commitment. Olivia running track at Ohio Northern. If she's not committed, it's not going to work. She's not going to win anything. Am I making sense? If you're not committed, it's not going to happen. If you have an anger problem, you can stay committed and stay committed to Christ, and that anger will dissipate. You see that? The anger will leave. Whatever problem you have, when you stay committed to God and his will, it's going to dissipate. God's going to bring it to pass. Commitment is the solution and answer. When you're committed, it's going to happen. If you're not, it won't. You start working out. Some of you said, well, this year I'm going to go on a diet. And I know a lot of you quit already. Because you weren't committed. Oh, I see you laughing. I just nailed it, didn't I? That's the way it is. If you're not committed, it's not. You know what? I started working out years ago. I got to work out. You hear me? I'm not saying I'm in the best shape, but you don't get all that without doing something. I know. We better pray for some commitment. Am I making sense? Commitment is what moves God. When he knows you're committed, it causes you to be loyal. It causes you to obey him. It causes you to do things you can't do on your own. Just because you are committed. You see that? All right. This word commit It means Golgotha. Golgotha. Golgotha is where Jesus was crucified. That's the hill he was crucified on. So it literally means when you're committed, you're willing to die for what you're committed to. Here it is. If it's not worth dying for, it's not worth being committed to. You see that? That's huge. God wants you to be committed. A church won't make it without a pastor wants his people to be committed. Because when they're committed, you're going to help others and you're going to help the kingdom of God advance. A business wants the employees to be committed. You show up to work, it's going to help us be successful in our mission. You see that? Without commitment, nothing works. This word commit is a buzzword for 2022 up in this house. Amen? So here's what else the word commitment means. It comes from a camel, and when they would be on a journey in biblical days, this is where it comes from, the Hebrew, and it means to roll away, to roll away. So when a camel is on a journey and its water depletes, it has this big load on its back. And so what it does is it gets down on its knees and it rolls it off. It rolls it over. And to roll away is what the word commit means. So no, and they said the camel's committed. He's rolling away. You see that? That's what it means. So what God is saying, when you're committed, you'll come to me and you'll roll your problem off on me. And I will handle it, and you don't have to try to handle it. You see, when you're committed to God, it frees you to be you. That's why he says, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. When you're committed to God, you take it, you give it to him. And now you don't take your burden, you know, that wife of mine, she's just rippity-rap to work. You know that husband of mine, he's... You don't take your burden and spew it out all over. That right there is destroying you. That right there is because of no commitment. When you're committed, you're not going to say a negative word about your husband or your wife or anyone else or your boss. If you're committed to your job, you're going to make him look good. I don't care if he's breathing down your neck with horns and a pitchfork. You're going to make him look good because you're committed. You see that? That's the way it's supposed to be when you're committed. You're supposed to build people up and edify them when you're committed. And when you're committed, that's the way to move. That's the way to go. And guess whose life begins to improve? Yours. You see this? Now listen to me. So, he tells us to commit whose way? Our way. I can't do it my way. I need God. When I give it to God, now I'm going his way. Look what he says to the Lord. And then he says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Remember that word trust? It means careless. That's the Hebrew word for that is careless. So I can trust you, and I can be careless. I can tell you anything, and I know you're not going to go telling it to everybody, or you're not going to go around the corner and talk bad about me because I trust you. You see that? You know, you're not going to put your money in a trust fund in a bank where the weeds are growing up over the roof and the windows are cracked and the doors are all rusted. You're not going to put no trust in that, are you? I'm not putting my money in that place. I'm going to go where it looks like things are together. You see that? You see this? Trust. You trust. What you trust, it has to have some commitment. Are you catching this? So this is significant, folks. When I trust someone, I can be careless. I trust Donita. I can tell her everything. And she's going to have my back. you know. And then I can come in here and trust. I can tell you things about me because I have him and I have her. I ain't studying the rest of you guys. You see that? I am, but you know, I'm just trying to help you out. It makes you secure. See, when you have a trust fund, it's secure. You can invest in it. Now it's secure. You don't have to be thinking about it all the time because it's secure. That's the way you become when you trust in the Lord. You become secure. You're not running around. You're not insecure. You're secure. You go in, you go out to the mailbox with your skivvies on, right? And your hair all... I was going out the other day, and Donnie says, "You're going out there like that?" I said, "Yep." It's all right. What about... No, she didn't say about the neighbors, but, you know. Does this make sense? All right. I'm just laying some groundwork. We talked about idols last week, and we're getting them out of our life. Now look what he says. When you have that trust in place, it shall come to pass. What? Your problem. What used to have you, what used to dominate your thoughts and dominate you, it's gone. Amen. You know what? It may not be gone. God may change your view of it. Now your opinion of it has dwindled. You don't even care about it anymore because it just doesn't have you. You know, it may be an in-law problem. Sometimes that happens. That happens occasionally. It may be, who knows what kind of problem. It goes away. Am I making sense? Because your view of it, now you got God's view of it. And now you can be free to be you. You see that? Because you're committed. And God brings it to pass. He brings it to pass. It may be an addiction. It may be, you know, pornography. Got to give you a view for your wife. See that? And that's all you want. You see this? He changes your view. And when you got his vision on it, now you have restraints to help you fulfill his will. Right? Where there's vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there's vision, he brings restraints. Now you have the restraints you need to fulfill his will. All right, look at this. Go with me. We're going to talk about today. Give me 2 Chronicles 19:3, real quick. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. Now, he just had said in the verse 2 how Jehoshaphat had done wrong and messed up and helped enemies. But now the prophet is speaking. God is speaking through the prophet, the seer. He's speaking through him, and this is what he's saying. He says, nevertheless, good things are found in you. So what he's saying is, you don't have to be perfect. I'm not looking for perfection. God isn't looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to have the right motive and to have a prepared heart. Now, please stay with me. Now look, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land. The wooden images were idols. I go to India, and I've seen idols out in the middle of nowhere. They build these idols, and they get out, and they'll worship them. And then there's some standing out there that nobody goes and worships anymore. And they're all falling down and broken, but they're still there. You see this everywhere. Be, you know, right next to a real nice house, big house, and then there'll be idols out there. That there's all these different religions and different form. You see this? You see it out there. And that's what he's talking about. He got rid of the idols. Jehoshaphat got rid of the idols. Now stay with me. He removed the wooden images from the land and have what? Prepared your heart to seek the Lord. Now remember what the word prepared means? It means fixed. It means set. Fixed. Set. His heart was prepared to seek the Lord. And that's what I'm trying to help us see. We need to have a prepared heart to seek the Lord. Now, stay with me. We're going to talk about how to prepare a heart. Now look, so what's behind this word prepared? If it's fixed, it's the Hebrew word K-U-W-N, kun. I think it's pronounced that way, but that's close enough. It's the Hebrew word, and it's fixed. So it's a good depiction of it is when a person will pour a driveway with concrete, and they after the concrete becomes fixed, now you can back up on the driveway or drive your car over it, and it won't leave an impression in the concrete because it's fixed. But if it's not cured and fixed yet, the tires leave an impression that you can't remove. Did you get that? But if it's prepared, if it's fixed, you can drive a Mack truck over it, and it won't leave an impression. You see what that's? What's the implication? When your heart is fixed on God, nothing is going to leave an impression on me except God. You see that? I'm not gonna accept this mess. I'm gonna resist this temptation because you're not gonna leave tracks on my back. Because my heart is fixed. Let's look at this. In that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat prepared his heart. Now look, he goes into battle. Now in the next chapter, chapter 20, he goes into battle. The Amorites, Moab, and Mount Seir are these armies that came against him. And he starts saying, what am I going to do? All these armies are coming against me. But his heart was prepared. And God said, praise. Begin to praise. He sent Judah out to meet the armies, and they began to praise God. And it defeated every one of them. And they dropped all their spoils, gold, all their goods. And now Jehoshaphat and his men, and they were less. There was less people in Jehoshaphat's army than all that far. But they defeated them because he had a prepared heart. And now they get the abundance. Now they get the wealth from the battle. What's the implication? When your heart's prepared and you're willing to be committed, you're going to face battles in this life that God is going to bless you with when you stay in the battle and you're willing to do what he says. I want you to praise me in this battle. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, are you getting a hold of this? Now listen, give me 2 Chronicles 12, 14. Now look, now here he's talking about Joab. Joab was David's son, and he was the king of Israel at the time. He had done well up to this point. But now, look what it says. And he did evil. Because what? He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.